Hello, this is John Allsop. It's your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, if you go to paragonhotel.com, I think it is. Sure it is. I'll just check. You might find, paragonhotel.com. If you want to win a holiday, or at least the accommodation cost for 3 days in Scarborough, then you can enter that competition and you'll see that one of the things that you get back from it is you get an email confirmation and you get a link that you can spread around your friends. So, and every time your friend, if your friend enters, then you get a free extra entry into the prize draw. So every time you persuade somebody to enter, you get an extra entry into the prize draw as well. So that's quite a nice, neat trick. I'm not sure whether I could say that that's my design, but that's my website anyway. Next up is Air France Flight 447, which is the tragic Airbus loss in the middle of the ocean. I don't know how long ago it was, but it's another example where there was another air crash where the artificial horizon stuck and the pilots thought they couldn't see anything, they were flying at night, it was whatever, foggy, stormy, whatever, and and they were, the artificial horizon was off by 1 degree or 5 degrees or whatever, and they were trying to correct for it all the time, and apparently you can't tell easily which way up you are. I hear that's true when you get ditched into the sea. You know, you don't know which way to swim. It's hard for us to tell which way is up. So they couldn't tell that in trying to correct for this artificial horizon that had broken, they were slowly, slowly leaning over to the right or left or whatever. And as they increasingly corrected for what wasn't true, they gradually got themselves into a death spiral and they were flying over mountains and that was the end of that. It's an example where all I thought was surely if you were a pilot, and I know this is coming from total ignorance, you would, the first thing I would feel I would do as a pilot would be to blue tack a piece of string to the ceiling, because that's an absolute measure of how that dangles is going to confirm to you whether you're going up or down or sideways. And here's another one, the Air France 447, totally up to the eyeballs in technology, state-of-the-art aircraft, and they just flew it into the sea basically because they didn't know what was really happening. And there were a couple of things out of that are usability issues. One of them was that before, as I understand it, I've only read the article, that's all, but whereas before, the stick would show whether you were climbing or falling or going left or right, because the position of the stick held. On this new Airbus, the pilots loved it because all you had to do was kind of click in a direction. It was more like a joystick. You just kind of knocked it in a direction and the plane remembered that, the joystick reset. So, at a human level, if you are a pilot and co-pilot, you are going to have to notice that twitch to know if all the instruments are out, to know what the plane's doing, to know that he just knocked it left or knocked it up or nosed down. Whereas before, two pilots in a cockpit, you could see by looking at the yoke what the plane was doing, whether the instruments were there or not. And you can imagine, and this is pure speculation, that pilots have a strong sense of their skill and abilities and seniority. And so if, whereas you could cop a kind of surreptitious glance at the yoke to see what the plane's doing if it's always in that position. But if you've actually got to watch the other guy like a hawk to see what he's doing, that's not going to, you know, you're not going to do that, because particularly it depends in the direction, this, you know, which direction the seniority is, but you know, you've got to have good relations in the cockpit, and you don't want you don't want people to be feeling that they're being watched or questioned all the time. And all that happened with Air France 447 is one of the pilots kept trying to climb the plane and eventually got it so nose up that it was falling faster than it was going forwards, and it ended up in the sea. And they didn't realise that that was the situation. One of the other things that happened was once, so you've got electronic instruments all over the place, and if the computer thinks that the information that the instrument is giving is unreliable, it removed the instrument, it stopped displaying the instrument. So you've got a plane that's in crisis with lots of instruments, you know, flying through a storm, its speed indicators frozen over, and it's in manual. And half of the instruments are gone, and they're trying to correct it. And when the pilot, the senior pilot, comes in and noses down, which would correct the problem, then instruments started to make more sense. More instruments displayed, but they displayed in a kind of a panic state. They were kind of showing what all kinds of things were wrong. And so from quite a peaceful cockpit with nothing showing, it turned into a more panicky display of all kinds of things showing. And that felt, to the pilots, speculation because they're dead, but it felt like that action had made things worse. It's pure usability. It's beautifully usability. And I just find it incredible. If you're going to put a plane together like that, the usability isn't the key, you know, isn't more important. That looks, a lot of that looks totally obvious to me. But usability just isn't, you know, taken as seriously as it should be. That's just an example of usability in that world. Usability in web design. I mean, I'm talking to a client now, and we're kind of arguing about essentially his view of the website versus my view of the website, and my view is coming from the client side. And so I sat down with a customer and videoed him using the website, sent that to the client. Suddenly the client is kind of, that's interesting, this is happening, that's happening, and suddenly he's on board, because people don't see how normal people use websites. They don't see the easy problems that need fixing. But I do, because that's my world, and because I train people in using the web, and I see the kind of mistakes they make and the thinking that they have. So, usability, please do it. Okay, very simple one. Pinterest. It's just a comedy thing, really. I unfollowed somebody's Pinterest board that was called Hats and Boots, because I'm kind of have a slight inkling that I might get a hat. I kind of quite like the old idea that every man had a hat, and when they were happy, they threw them in the air. And Always curious. I need to speak to an old guy, but you know when you get a crowd and all the people throw their hats in the air, how do you get your own one back? Because they were all, you know, wore the same hat. Anyway, so I'm kind of curious about that. So I was following this pinball called Hats and Boots because I think maybe there was a picture of a hat that I thought, oh, that might be interesting. But now I've unfollowed it because what I got was hats for women and boots, which I don't care about. So there are lots of things cluttering up my stream. Whereas what I really wanted was an occasional man's hat picture so that I could start to make decisions about what kind of hat I liked and what I didn't. So I the message was be specific, because actually from a marketing point of view, if you, I mean, that's not what this person was doing, but from a marketing point of view, if you're going to use Pinterest from a marketing point of view, then your board should be specific, because you know, if you have a guy who's interested in buying a hat or a woman who's interested in boots, the two seem mutually exclusive, and so they should be separate Pinterest boards. That's all I'm saying. Somebody said hats and boots may well be specific for a lot of people who want both. That's kind of true. I'm tempted to say that men don't coordinate hats and boots, but women obviously probably do. But this site wasn't about coordinated hats and boots. If it was, that'd be fine, you know, whatever. And somebody said get out more, which strangely is not the first time somebody said that to me in the last couple of days. So there you go. Okay, the next one is, it's really two things about one page, which is the paydirtapp.com, which says it's honest to goodness time tracking and invoicing for browser-based freelancers, consultants, and small teams. Sounds great. Looks great. And the point I wanted to raise is a couple of things, really. First of all, there is a style of website. So you're making a website that you want to be a converting website that you want to sell. So one of the things that has become quite popular is putting a video, just having a video, and then a buy it kind of button. And so there's the first thing is so that there's no option to do anything else. There's no help, there's no contact us, there's no nothing. It's you're on this page, your only option is to leave or buy it. And you can see that that's probably quite persuasive, and it's become a quite a popular thing. So fine. So the paydirt one also has this idea of so when you're familiar with the concept of above the fold and below the fold, an old newspaper term that when news agents were displaying newspapers, they'd fold them in half, and so when people were designing newspaper layouts, they would make what appeared in the top half of the newspaper when it was displayed on the newsstand persuasive, as people walked past the stand, so they'd sell more newspapers. And so what was above the fold had to be self-contained and persuasive, and that translates to the web. It's what you see before you scroll down. So apologies for the background noise, by the way. We have builders and roofers have just arrived. It stopped raining. So on the web, it's above the fold is the stuff that you see when you land on the page, before you scroll down. So you could fill that space above the fold with your video, but then as you scroll down, then you can provide all kinds of other information, and the paydirtapp.com page does that beautifully. It looks fantastic, you know, no problem. So that's just a good example of that. But Then the problem that I have with this is that if you look at, let me see if I can give you the, there we go, Brian Mack, M-A-C, brianmack.co.uk/learnstyle.htm. Now, my partner's a master's work psychologist. She thinks these things are kind of no longer valid, but you know, they're good fun. This is a questionnaire, brianmack.co.uk/learnstyle.htm. It's called the it's a learning style questionnaire. Honey and Mumford, I think. It's quite a common one for management teams, whatever. And the idea is that people learn in different way, have different approaches to learning new stuff. There are people who jump right in. There are people who want to know exactly what they're doing before they move. There are people who will sit and watch everybody else do it and draw their own conclusion before they jump in. And there are kind of pragmatic people who want to know how this is going to help them in their work. And so you can fill out the questionnaire and work out which you are. I'm actually completing that convinced me to do what I'm doing now, because I turn out to be a heavy-duty theorist, and it turns out that other people aren't. So my calling is that actually not everybody thinks the way that I do, and so I can bring benefit by rambling on about it. So anyway, so I'm that theorist. Now, I don't know, I'll have to have a look, what percentage of people are fall into each of those camps, but if you are a theorist, then this paydirtapp.com page doesn't work, because I've got questions about this software. I don't want to sign up for it. I don't want to get started with a 30-day free trial. The problem with that is I know that it commits me. I know that that's actually more expensive than paying for it. Because I'm going to have to set things up, I'm going to have to use it, I'm going to have to spend time learning it, and I know that in 30 days time, when it comes up and says, do you want to spend, it's $10 a month per user, I'm going to be in a different state of mind. I'll have been using it, and I'll then feel that I don't want to lose what I've invested. That's what they want. I don't want to jump into that and invest all that until I know that it solves all of my problems. So that it works fine, that if you're open source software, if you're developing open source software, this is kind of where this comes from, I think, then there is nobody there to help you. It's free software. You're meant to be a contributor and to be part of the you know, if you find something wrong, you report it, and then people can fix it. If you and you try and contribute as much as you can, so the only way forward with open source software is that you try it, see if it works for you, and ditch it if it doesn't. And that's what you pay for open source software. You pay no money, but you kind of try it and see if it works for you. With this, they are actually making money, so there should be something, for me anyway, as a theorist, there should be a way for me to have my questions answered. So I came to this site, I got very close to signing up for it, because there are all sorts of needs there, but I didn't. And the reason I didn't is because I'm a theorist and my questions weren't answered. So, nice though that converting page, sales page is, I suspect it doesn't work for theorists. So that begs all kinds of questions, doesn't it? It begs questions about what kind of learning style does your audience have predominantly, determines kind of what sort of website you're going to provide. And the only way to get me to convert from this would be to put up some kind of help thing. They do have a help email and a Twitter account, so, you know, okay, it's there. But previously, I've interacted with some similar software, and I felt I was in the role of trying to say, well, I need to know this in order to, in a sense, give them the idea that, you know, there were improvements to be made to their website, but I didn't come across like a, you know, know-it-all prat or anything, but it was just a kind of a, I felt, as well as getting things for me, I was also sharing issues back to them, and they could have listened to that and taken it on, but they didn't. In the end, the person said, just try it. So I basically wound him up. And just try it. Doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. And it potentially, I think it's a big problem. Anybody busy doesn't have the time to just try it. It doesn't work. So that's the message for that. I think that kind of covers it. Is that everything? I think it is. So that's it, and we can talk. Well, it's the weekend, so we will be together again on Monday. I'll talk to you then. Cheers. Bye.